Lifted 10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
I'm just trying to unwrap all of these CVS receipts. And now, Dr. Dave Weather.
More news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to stirring every damn night. Stirring every damn night. Stirring every damn night.
You're on the late shift, the third shift. In the break room, there's the microwave, and there's your coffee. And you put it in the microwave for 90 seconds. I used to think it was a minute, but that doesn't work. 90 seconds. And it's going around and around on a carousel in the microwave. Where it stops determines what our shift is going to be like. Let's listen. Here it comes. I think it's aware. Huh? There it is. Now, if the cup is in the back of the microwave and you can barely see it, and you put your hand in, and you maybe use the wrong cup, you could get a burn, or the right cup, no burn. But if you can't see it, it's going to be a bad night. If it shows up right in front, points at you, says thank you, you're going to have a great night. And you're going to have a great night because this is Sterling every damn Sunday. We have been on the radio now for 11 years. For 11 years and had no impact on the American radio industry. I am so proud to say that once again, the Radio Hall of Fame nominees have been announced. And once again, I'm not on that list. And this is good because this is the way I'd much prefer to live. There are some people who damn well should be on that list. Alex Bennett, Sally Jesse Raphael. They look for people who've had a national footprint and an impact on the industry to be in the Radio Hall of Fame. You should look them up, Radio Hall of Fame. You can see all the people who've been nominated, all the people who've gotten in, and you can express your opinions. I want those boys to have your opinions. One of the jobs that I've got, Walter M. Sterling, that's me, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. every single Sunday night, and five nights a week in Philadelphia, because who deserves me more than the great city of Philadelphia? Who deserves me more than Mayor Parker and Walter M. Sterling? I'm part of my job is to keep you up to date on trends, very important trends. And the TikTok trend at the moment is a song by freaking Connie Francis. Now, you know the way it works on TikTok. They'll find a song that all the TikTok dancers, mimickers really like, and then they perform it. For about 3 months, it was Pink Shoelaces off of the Amazing Mrs. Maisel from the Mrs. Maisel show. They did a dance to Pink Shoelaces, Dodie Stevens' incredibly important song from the 50s. Hundreds of the coolest kids on earth danced the dance from Mrs. Maisel to Pink Shoelaces. Now, the one they are all mimicking, miming, singing to, dancing to. You won't believe it. It's a Connie Francis song. Where the Boys Are, Spring Break? No, that would be logical. It's this. You ready?
Hawaii, baby.
They love this. On TikTok, this is the song.
Pretty little babe, kawaii baby. Kotolita china, uta ukowa, aino utani, kiko eluno. Pretty little baby, sutekina baby.
Mm-hmm.
していて忘れられぬあの言葉 Pretty little baby 私のベイビー。
The cool song on TikTok right now, Connie Francis, Pretty Little Baby. Let's enjoy more of this. It'll help me kill 2 minutes here. It's enough of that. If you go to TikTok and you search Connie Francis or Pretty Little Baby, that will pop up, except there will be dozens and dozens of videos. Dozens of videos of them singing Pretty Little Baby to Connie Francis. And then we have to talk about this because nobody would believe that something like this would happen.
Investigators say a pipe from a tugboat is actually what seriously damaged a car on Commercial Street in Portland this week. So Cameron Mallette was working late Wednesday night for Casco Bay Lines when he learned the rear window of his vehicle was shattered. Police told us yesterday they thought the 35-pound pipe fell from a plane. Police now say the FAA and Casco Bay Lines did an investigation. They determined that pipe broke off from a nearby tugboat. The piece is likely part of a tie down.
You're sitting in your car and a 35-pound pipe slams into your rear window and you look up, you see nothing. Your right, your left, maybe thugs, hooligans were attacking you. No, there's no one around. Just a 35-pound pipe smashes into your rear window. At first, local police thought it was from an airplane. All airlines deny it. Didn't fall from an airplane. Magically, it popped out of the water from a ferry boat and landed on your rear window. How do you prepare for something like that? How are you emotionally intelligent? Where is your emotional intelligence? What an arrogant piece of crap phrase that is. Do you have emotional intelligence? No, I'm just trying to get through breakfast. Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
Gaffneys, meet the Gaffneys. They live in a 150-year-old house. They've got 8 kids. We don't have time to name them all. Sometimes Dan and Becky like to bicker, and it's always good for a snicker. When you're with the Gaffneys, you know it's Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. It's Sterling every damn night.
Oh! I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're here to tell you tales of living with our 8 kids in our old house in Delaware.
Just when we got into record today, we were waiting on a phone call from our son who has just flown all the way across the world.
This is his first trip. This is not an insult, but he typically has never been more than 18 miles away from the home.
He doesn't like to travel. He doesn't like to go places. He's content being where he is.
Until he hit us up with this idea that he's flying to an Asian country.
So as we got here and went to look at the phone to see if he'd landed yet, we got another phone call.
Our adult daughter, who is also living independently, wants to get a puppy. But she's going away for 6 months on a trip. So guess who gets to take care of the puppy?
Okay, that is not the deal. She did not say we get to take care of the puppy. She said, hey, if I got this dog, would you? So it's not like we're automatically assumed to take care of this dog.
But I'm the anti-dog person in the house. And so,
not really because you're anti-dog, but because we've had dogs and we basically got to that point where it's like, okay, we've had these dogs. We're not going to do this.
I just don't
anymore.
Want another dog in the house.
Right. I understand.
So you could say I'm anti-dog in the house, but this is a cute dog.
It's adorable.
And you seem to be going along with her.
I really am not going along with her. I'm just trying to figure out if we can really make the decision that she doesn't get the dog. I mean, we can say we're not going to watch it, but would you really do that? It's pretty cute. I have the perfect solution. We get the dog and we fly it to Thailand. We fly it to Thailand for our son to watch, and we kill two birds with one stone. We know he's great. He's taken care of. He has, you know, a little buddy, yeah. And we don't have to watch the dog.
That'd be the perfect solution.
Either that, or we fly you to Thailand, and I keep the puppy. All this to say, they grow up. You think that they don't need a thing from you, but you're more worried about them now than you were when they were toddlers. When they were toddlers, you could tell them no. Now, we can't really say don't go to Thailand by yourself, having never been on a plane. We want to be proud of that and encourage it. And we really can't say you can't get the dog.
And the overseas trip, now I'm being charged a monthly fee for the cell phone texting. I just got that message.
Okay, he pays his cell phone bill. He got the little pluggy anything that's supposed to take care of it. It's just an extra data charge. He already said that, and it's not as if he doesn't pay the bill.
All right.
Are we getting the puppy?
No comment.
See you in Thailand.
Follow me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
And if you're looking for me, you can find me on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky, Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
The biggest hits of all time. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
Jewelry thief, nabbed. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling every damn night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line.
Hello, I'm Walter Sterling.
A show is a show, as we all know, but there's one show on the radio that definitely does not blow. It's Sterling every damn night. Turn on the show on your radio. You'll laugh so hard, you'll start to glow. They ought to pay him lots of dough. It's Sterling every damn night. Dom Giordano yaks and yaks and wastes the time of day. But Walter Sterling never talks unless he has something to say.
So grab some Merlot and put on the show. It won't interfere with your workflow.
It's number one in Buffalo. It's Sterling every damn night.
Catherine Arthur, Neil Paul, Judy Paul, Billy Datz, Beryl Kravitz, Rebecca Canner, welcome. These are the Midnight Misfits. We don't belong anywhere. That's why we're listening to, what? Radio on Sunday night. Now, those of you who have discovered TikTok are obsessed with it. I know it's pretty much all you do. When people think you're busy at work, you're actually on TikTok. TikTok has trends. They fall in love with certain songs that they sing to, dance to. I'm trying to explain this to you so you look vaguely cool for your kids. Be cool for your kids, or in your case, your great-great-great-grandkids. Yes, congratulations for being able to lift up that radio. At the moment, this is the song they're obsessed with on TikTok. It's the great Connie Francis, who you were horny for at one time.
Pretty little baby. Of me and try to love me, pretty little baby. I'm hoping that you do. You can ask the flowers. I sit for hours telling all the bluebirds, the bill and coobirds, pretty little baby. I'm so in love with you.
Are you ready?
Don't
are you ready?
You know it's much more fun to love. Meet me at the car hop. Meet me in the moonlight or in the daylight. Pretty little baby.
Thank you.
Now is just the time where both of us
sing. I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
Don't you know it's much more fun to love while the heart is young and gay?
Satan lives.
Meet me
just
at
terrible.
The fire hop or at the pop shop. Meet me in the moonlight.
Hi, I'm William Devane.
Pretty little baby. I said pretty little baby.
Walter Sterling makes your evening weird. Sterling every damn night.
Yeah, let's see Wide Orbit do that. Let's see Wide Orbit pull that off. Won't happen. What? Yes, it's Sunday night, 45, 40, 90, 91, 95. These are the winning numbers. When you and I are stuck on the interstates, going home from the second shift to the third shift, the late shift, UPS, United Parcel, United States Post Office, 18-wheelers, Keith Mortensen, Memories of the 18-wheeler, United Parcel, Uber, Lyft, taxis, patrol cars, you and I are the people in charge of the night. We're not just working second or third shift. You and I are in charge. Do you see a manager around? No, because there are no managers around. Managers imagine that it's only important to work during the daylight hours. They strategize, politicize to get to work during the daylight. I would never want to do that. If somebody was stupid enough, foolish enough to say, well, you know, Walter, you're a very novelty show. It would be really good. You sort of have a morning show. Yes, it's called a morning show at midnight. It's the entire sentence. A morning show at midnight on WGAN in Portland. Walter M. Sterling puzzled by this amazing story.
Investigators say a pipe from a tugboat is actually what seriously damaged a car on Commercial Street in Portland this week. So Cameron Mallette was working late Wednesday night for Casco Bay Lines when he learned the rear window of his vehicle was shattered. Police told us yesterday they thought the 35-pound pipe fell from a plane. Police now say the FAA and Casco Bay Lines did an investigation. They determined that pipe broke off from a nearby tugboat. Piece is likely part of a tie down.
Drew Anderson, Dallas, very nervous about this, wondering whether or not he should push this show on all of the Odyssey stations. Let me help you, Drew. It's simple. The other Odyssey stations, they're like number 22 in the market, number 22. This show is number one. Walter M. Sterling every damn Sunday.
When Walter Sterling does his nightly show, the misfits all turn on the radio. He'll complain and blame with words that bite, and he does it every damn night when Walter Sterling does his mighty show.
Boom, boom, Hollywood, Sterling every damn night.
In Hollywood, in California, Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood, welcome to the giant network Sterling Show, heard from Maine to Sacramento. How does that feel to know that for once you're being heard?
It's fabulous and in such great company. The wonderful talent on this show, your kazoo playing, your very clever stories, all add up. But, you know, our heroes are the misfit tuning in right now. Because I've got a movie this week that's about anti-hero misfits as opposed to the heroic misfit listening now. And by heroic, I mean the guy that's driving his truck down the road late at night or operating a train or on that shift. All these guys that listen to the show, and gals too, that know that this is respite from the grind to hear something unlike anything else on live radio anywhere. And for me, it is an honor and privilege to be part of this wonderful crew.
How do you feel that Connie Francis at the moment is the star of TikTok?
I hadn't heard that because I've been somewhat under the weather. I haven't looked at TikTok today. What has Connie done?
Listen. This song of hers is the TikTok song of the moment.
Pretty little baby. Yeah, yeah. Pretty little.
That's the song they're all singing and making videos to.
Well, good for her. I hope that puts a tick up in her royalties.
It probably will, but I promise you she won't know.
Probably not.
No. Now, the last big song that was used like that was Pink Shoelaces, the Jody Stevens song from Mrs. Maisel. There was a song on Mrs. Right. Maisel, the dance on Mrs. Maisel, and everybody did that. Well, now the song of the moment is Pretty Little Baby by Connie Francis, which is particularly interesting since it was not exactly a hit.
No, it was a B-side, wasn't it?
I was too young to know about sides, but I never heard of it till tonight when my daughter said, "And Dad, remember on TikTok, the big song right now is Pretty Little Baby by Connie Francis." I said, "What?" And sure enough, she was absolutely right. Now, you have a movie to share with us. What is the movie, Mateus?
This is the movie that this weekend has made $76 million.
Whoa.
It's called Thunderbolts with an asterisk. Thunderbolts. The asterisk doesn't go anywhere. It just sits at the end of the word. There's no follow-up on that asterisk, as there usually might be. It's from Disney and Marvel Studios. And it's a bunch of, as I said earlier, anti-hero misfits that find each other in a trap set by Valentina, who's played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus with this streak of white in her hair, sort of like the Bride of Frankenstein. You loved her in Seinfeld and, of course, The Veep. She's great in that. But realizing all these anti-heroes have all been sent there to be terminated, they decide to team up to get out this trap that Julia Louis-Dreyfus has set. These misfits are made up of Yelena, who's played by Florence Pugh, who's a young actress I think is quite good, actually. Sebastian Stan is the Winter Soldier again, Bucky Barnes. He recently played Donald Trump, and very well. We talked about that here a couple of months ago. Dave Harbour from Stranger Things, he's Alexei. Wyatt Russell as John Walker, Captain America, and Hannah John Kamen as Ava Starr. She's quite voluptuous. Unfortunately, these superhero movies, there doesn't seem to be enough time for hanky-panky, but you can imagine, because the suits are very tight. Anyway, while trapped in this secret location about to be destroyed, they encounter this guy named Bob. Just Bob.
And it's a menacing name.
I know, isn't it?
Name. Yes, it is.
played by Lewis Pullman. He's the son of Bill Pullman. Anyway, Bob, in the past, was the subject of bioengineering to give him great powers, but he has no idea how he got where he was and found by the others. So anyway, they get out of there, and they must escape the evil forces set against them by this Valentina, who, when she finds out Bob is with them, makes nefarious plans to use Bob and his powers to control the world. Now, I find this stuff absolutely ridiculous, Walter. I really do. But this had some interesting visual concepts and the value of the underdog rising to the top, some compartmentalization about depression, which was interesting to see in a first-run movie handled tactfully and tastefully. So I think it'll keep you from – it's really protection from a boring evening. That's actually in the movie on the side of a limousine, protection from a boring evening. I think it sums up the whole movie, Thunderbolts, in theaters now.
Thunderbolts. And they depict depression? Is that what you said? One of the aspects of the characters, one of them is like really depressed?
Yes. Yes, that's now, the Pullman character of Bob.
Now, except for cases of clinical depression, a serious condition to be sure, don't you think a lot of the people who say they're depressed really are eating too much sugar and not going to bed on time?
Well, sure. I'm sure there's a lot of that. Diets, crazy schedules, not taking care of their health. So I think there's a lot of that. But there are people who actually suffer from major depressive disorders with melancholic features and others.
Yeah, I separated that. There's serious clinical depression where people can't get out of bed, they can't function, and they don't know why. But then there's this other group that really just needs to go to bed and stop eating junk.
Yeah, like a lot of teenagers.
Like all teenagers. Because I know what my mother would have said if one of her children had been diagnosed with depression. My mother would have said, "Really? When are you going to stop eating all that crap and go to bed when I tell you?" That would have been my mother's diagnosis for depression. Do you have any other news? Are you working on refurbishing a Sacramento theater that you'd like to tell us about?
No, actually, I do a regular series in Orinda, California, which is a little city on the other side of Oakland, California. There's a hillside between Oakland and Orinda, and let me tell you, that natural border makes all the difference in the world. It's like Mayberry in Orinda, and in Oakland, you leave your car somewhere, it won't be there when you come back. In Orinda, you can leave it unlocked. And in this town of mostly the geriatric jet set, huge retirement community, there's this beautiful 1941 theater, and I do one classic movie there every month with a newsreel, a cartoon, short subjects. I get up and I talk about this program and how people need to tune in, and that's where they can hear my movie reviews. And so we're getting bigger audience numbers in a room to KFBK out of Sacramento.
KFBK, run by Bill White, a brilliant programmer, a great radio station. So great that it has an afternoon drive news person named Kitty, and nobody blinks at that name for a news person. Don't you find that remarkable?
Well, Kitty O'Neill has been a personal friend of mine for many years, and she's really great. It's a fun name, and would you believe it? She is an animal lover. Loves supporting cats and dogs and has pictures of them. She has a shtick on her show called Kitty's Litter, where she talks about all sorts of stuff. She's great. She's a wonderful broadcaster. She's been there almost 30 years at that station, which in radio, you know, says a lot.
No, I know that. That's why I could kid, because she is so great, and nothing I could say but bullets bounce off her. There are no problems with Kitty, great talent. Bill White, don't want any trouble with them. Last thing in the world that I need is trouble with them. All right, this is Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood. How do I find you on Facebook?
MAV Hollywood. Excuse me, let's try that in English. Mateus Boom Balls Hollywood on Facebook. That's M-A-T-I-A-S. B-O-M-B-A-L, Hollywood, like the city. M-A-T-I-A-S, B-O-M-B-A-L, Hollywood, on Facebook.
You're the best, Mateus. Thank you for being on Sterling every damn Sunday.
Pretty little baby, you say that maybe you'll be thinking of me and try to love me. Pretty little baby, I'm hoping that you...
Sterling every damn Sunday.
Extra, extra, extra. Hear all about it. Strippers on the loose.
When you're at the strip club, or gentlemen's club if you want to be classy, there's a soundtrack that goes with it, and there's a number of really good songs that are very popular right now. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the classics, ones that never go away. Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard. Addicted to Love by Robert Palmer. Hot for Teacher, that's also a good one. A classic by our good friends at Van Halen. At the Van Halen, everybody. Then there's some awesome newer songs. Louisiana's in the House with I'm a Slave for You by Britney Spears. I Kissed a Girl. Yeah, the song I Kissed a Girl by that astronaut herself, Katy Perry, who is still worshiping the sacred feminine of seeing the Earth's roundness. Pour It Up by Rihanna. And Don'tcha by the Pussycat Dolls. When you go to a local gentleman's club, those are likely some of the wonderful tunes that you'll be enjoying. You will not be seeing, though, exotic dancers dancing to anything by John Denver. Everything by John Denver just kills the mood, doesn't it? Just sit there, Rocky Mountain High. No. Thank God I'm a country boy. No. So there you go. Cool, helpful hit. The biggest hits at your gentleman's club. Exclusively from the Champagne Room. I'm Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
Jewelry thief, nabbed. Details later, the people of Walmart. Sterling every damn night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line.
Feel the dough, eat the dough, J.B. Bakery.
All right, Sterling, Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday. Welcome to the only live radio show on the dial in America right now. This is it. Route 40, Highway 45, 90, 91, 95, 5, the 101. Good evening, Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday. It was exhausting. I'm pretty much done now. Steve the Baker from JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, and manager Selena, who is up to be Miss New Jersey in the Miss America pageant. Could it be more authentic than that? And Father Jim Drucker, the rock and roll priest, who was the Navy chaplain, official Navy chaplain in Desert Storm, a fantastic missionary of Christ, Father Jim Drucker. It's like religion on the line for those who have gone wrong. Mr. Baker, what is your recipe tonight? I know that millions of Midnight Misfits want one of your recipes. They're easy to follow. They're fun to do. They're completely free. Which recipe do you have tonight, Steve?
Crispy and delicious churros. Now, do you know what a churro is?
It has something to do with Cinco de Mayo. It's not a game show. Go.
Exactly. So this is a fun treat for Cinco de Mayo. Usually Americans just embrace this delicious, like, it's like a street food. Basically, sound like on street fairs, festivals, carnivals. I used to remember getting it at Great Adventure when I was a kid. So it's a dough with just a little bit of baking powder to make it puff up. But it's basic flour, sugar, eggs, and butter. And so it's piped into hot oil, cooled down once it's fried, and it's dusted in cinnamon and sugar for that festival, that festive taste of that, like just the cinnamon sugar aroma with the grease. Always goes really good together. And it's festively made into like a strip, and it has like a star shape. So the little tip that I have for the baker's tip tonight is to use, you know, people don't always have like this particular pastry bag that bakers have. So use a fork to make the nice, almost look like a ruffle potato chip. Use a fork. I have it all explained in the recipe, and it'll give that nice star-shaped, rigid, potato chip kind of looking ruffles in the churro. They're crispy, delicious. The cinnamon sugar just kind of like melts in your mouth. And it's festive even more. You could use a chocolate sauce to dip it in. And my favorite is always Nutella. So this is a fun thing I'll be making at the bakery along with a few other things for Cinco de Mayo.
All right, for Cinco de Mayo, if you want the recipe for this churro, made by Steve the Baker, a great baker. He makes simple recipes that you and I can actually do and look good to our family. Send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. Ask for the recipe. Send it to you free, no obligation. Nothing else is going to happen to you. Now, Father Jim Drucker, a real Catholic priest of over 40 years, thank you for being on this giant radio show. Father Drucker, Cinco de Mayo, is that sort of a satanic pagan ceremony? As a Catholic, are you offended by Cinco de Mayo, Father?
I don't know a lot about it. I know it has to do with the Spanish, and the Hispanics are wonderful people. Matter of fact, I met someone today at the bakery, chow downing on a delicious apple turnover, and he was Hispanic, and we got talking, and I mentioned that the Hispanics, Spain, Spanish, Mexican, actually love Christ enough that they named their children Jesus. It's the only group that I know of in Christianity that love Christ enough to name their child Jesus after Jesus Christ.
Now, Selena is up to be Miss New Jersey in the Miss America pageant. Selena, when will you know if you're Miss New Jersey? How many more steps do you have to go through, Selena?
Oh, there are quite a few steps. I've actually got to submit my paperwork for Miss America by the 15th, because if I win, they have to send all of my paperwork right away. So I'm making my paperwork for Miss America. Yes, it's a lot of paperwork right now. I've got rehearsals coming up. There's a lot of events this month, and I'm making appearances with the other girls. But I will know whether or not I am Miss New Jersey on June 14th. Is the final night of competition. It's going to start at 8 p.m. And we won't know. There's two nights of preliminary competition before then. But we won't know who actually made it into the final 11 girls who get to compete for the title until we're standing on stage on the night of final competition. So I'll find out on stage whether or not I can compete for the title. And then if I win, I'll find out that night.
All right, that's Selena from JB Bakery, Burlington, New Jersey. Steve, the baker from JB Bakery, Burlington, New Jersey. And a Catholic priest ignoring the fact that this is Day of the Dead in Cinco de Mayo. And I appreciate all three of you being on Sterling every damn Sunday. Well, look at this. It's Sunday night, live across America, on KMOX and on Paul Vandenberg's giant radio station in Albany, New York. It's fun to be with you, Sterling, every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
I know what I'm going on. I know my job. And now, here's Dr. Dave.
Public Sterling Radio. Sterling every damn night.
At 855-839-1210, that's my live phone number. That is the live line number. 855-839-1210. With Sterling every damn night, Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. It's a live radio show from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. If you're listening on a station that takes it for like an hour or something, blame them. Get on the phone with them Monday and give them holy hell. There isn't another three-hour show live on the radio on Sunday night. What do you got? The Gold Show? Mr. Annuity and You? Stephanie, you're on Sterling every damn night. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Walter. That's right. You tell them it's 3 hours and not 1 hour, Walter.
What an embarrassment they are. All those stations are an embarrassment.
Total
what do you know about the Met Gala? What, this pretentious crap Met Gala. Where,
Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? Fashion capital of the world, New York City, Walter. Tomorrow is the first Monday in May, which kicks off, you know, it's the Met Gala. And this year, the theme is Black dandyism. It's super fine tailoring, Black style. The dress code is tailored for you. Do you know anything about that?
No. Say it again. No, so, no, I know nothing about
sorry.
It. It's not.
Okay,
it's
so
not
black. It's.
Go ahead.
So Black dandyism, super fine tailoring, Black style. The dress code is tailored for you. So it draws from the book that was written by Monica Miller, Slaves to Fashion, Black Dandyism and Styling of the Black Diaspora, how Black people in particular, Black men especially, they used flamboyant fashion to identify and expand their possibilities in otherwise limiting environments. And the great thing about this Met Gala, although it's always been, you know, the red carpet, everyone wants to see what everyone's wearing and the hair, and it's always geared around the women, but it's so exciting, especially because this is also geared attention to male fashion as well. So it's going to be really exciting, and I'm just looking forward to seeing what's going to happen. And, you know, I'm sad that you don't know much about the Met Gala. But
No. Stephanie, don't condescend to me. I know exactly what the Met Gala is. I know exactly what it is. I know that it's $35,000 a ticket last time I checked, unless you're really famous. And then they beg the invitation.
$275,000 a table.
And how many seats at the table?
I'm not sure at the table, but I think it's about 300 guests, and you have to be invited to even be able to go. So
you have to be invited to spend the $35,000, although she does invite some major names and hopes that they come. Now, one of the rumors about the Met Gala is that not only is there a theme, but that Anna has to approve of your outfit, every
yes,
person's outfit. Is that true?
That is 100% true, and I think she approved everything as of yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, and they're ready to go.
Now, Stephanie, what is the mechanism of 300 people submitting what they're going to wear to Anna Wintour? How do they submit that? Is it MP3s, videos? How do they submit this to Anna?
You know, unfortunately, I don't work for Anna Wintour directly, so I don't know exactly how it works, but I'm sure it goes through the designers that they have invited to, you know, come and show up to the Met Gala and dress these beautiful women and men for the event. So it happens. They show what they're going to where, you know, they do the designs, they get approval, and then they come in with whoever their designer is down the red carpet, and they show, you know, like, for example, you have Zendaya. Zendaya has her stylist who has worked with all designers last year. I think the theme was camp, and Zendaya, she was one of the co-chairs, and therefore, you know, she came always one of the best dressed, always turns it on for the Met Gala with her stylist, La Roche, and she had a vintage, beautiful Givenchy, and she came through afterwards with her second outfit, was an insane Maison Margiela, and it's not just about the clothing, it's the hair, but this year's theme is everything is going to be super tailored, you know, and I'm sure we're going to see so many extravagant things going on with the hair, not only for the women, but the men as well, because it's all about flamboyance, it's all about opulence, it's all about, you know, just really everything being tailored for you and just, you know, red carpet.
Now, Stephanie, this Sydney Sweeney, is she scheduled to be there?
I'm not sure if Sydney Sweeney's supposed to be there, but you know who's not going to be there, and I'm very disappointed, is Sarah Jessica Parker. She's always one of the big, you know, big ones at the Met. So she's not going to be there this year.
And why is that?
She says she's working. She's working. I think they're coming out with the second part of, what was the show that they did? And Just Like That. Yeah. Another season of Just Like That.
Now, what about Alexandria Daddario? Will she be there?
Alexandra Daddario, she should be there. And, you know, they don't always announce who's going to be there, but for the most part, we kind of find out who's coming in when we see them on the red carpet. But
they know exactly who's coming, and they know exactly where they're coming from, and they know exactly what their car number is. So there are no mysteries that only reveal on the red carpet. I would figure we'd know if I'm asking names of people who young men would be interested in seeing in tight dresses. So Alexandria Daddario is somebody we want to see in a tight dress, along with Sydney Sweeney. Really don't care about Sarah Jessica Parker for the past 15 years.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, there will be the usual Kendall Jenner. Do we love her? Gigi
not
Hadid?
Since she's no, we not since no. Not since Kendall's had that suspicious relationship with Timothy Chardonnay, no.
Oh, I thought that was her sister.
I can't tell them apart. I can never tell them apart.
I know. It's okay.
And I'm the only human in America who actually doesn't find them attractive. I'm like, I don't find any of them attractive.
Uh-huh. Who do you find attractive, Walter? That
Alexandria Daddario and Sydney Sweeney and who's the huge star? How am I? Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson. I'm sure she'll be showing up this year.
You think she'll be there?
She should be there. Why not? She should be there. She usually shows up, but. It's gonna be really exciting. I'm excited to see what happens, you know, fashion wise. Everything has become so minimalist these days, and it's just nice to see a costume gala and everybody just dressing up and really showing up and showing out, you know.
Now, Stephanie, where did you get your expertise in this event? This is a remarkable event to be an expert on, and I respect it and I admire you. How did you get to be an expert?
Well, I'm a celebrity hairstylist, and I work with people in... I haven't worked the Met in a few years, or anyone for the Met in a few years, but I do work for Julian Farrell Salon in New York City in Midtown. And, you know, Julian takes care of a lot of the who is who in New York City. So, you know, we are all connected in some way, so... You know, New York City, when you're in the heart of New York, you kind of have access to a lot of information. But I don't know, this year, it's just been a little bit more I haven't personally heard much of it except for what I'm hearing and seeing in the news, but it's going to be a very exciting event. But like I said, it's, you know, a lot of the men are going to be showing up as well, because the dandy is about men's tailoring and, you know, everything being just pushing the fashion, the male fashion. And so you may see women in the suits and men in even more beautiful suits and just, yeah.
Now, at the salon that you work, Stephanie, at the salon mm-hmm. that you work at, what's the name of that again?
Julian Farrell Spa, Salon and Spa at the Lowe's Regency.
At the Lowe's Regency. If somebody's lucky enough to get a reservation at your salon, what are we talking about in terms of a starting style event at that salon? How much are we talking about to get your hair styled there?
To get your hair styled, starting at, for a typical blow dry, I would say they start at 95, I think, which is the norm for juniors. But I myself, hair designer, we go from 125 and up. Then if you're coming in for a haircut, the haircuts start at 350 and up. And then we have amazing colorists. We offer nail services. We have amazing makeup artists. We have massage therapists and wax specialists. And, you know, people come in from around the world to see us. We've all been seasoned as artists for, I think each of us have at least 15, 20 years under our belt. Julian has an amazing team. I myself have been at it for 22 years. So,
whoa. You're one of the most, Stephanie, you're one of the most patient people I've ever known. I have to ask you one more question because yes. at a different point in my life, I used to get my hair styled mm-hmm. at the Plaza. And those were the prices. But the thing I really liked best about it, Stephanie, was I'd get free snacks. Do you give free snacks?
Are you kidding me? We make the best cappuccinos, the best lattes.
There you go.
Champagne and wine.
There you go. You buried the lead. There you go. You buried the lead. Stephanie, you've done a great job for us tonight. Please tell us mm-hmm. the name of the salon that you work at once more. The primary salon for the Met Gala coming up in just seconds. Stephanie, what's the salon again?
It's Julian Farrell at the Lowe's Regency Hotel in Midtown Manhattan, New York.
Thank you for the scoop on the Met Gala. Thank you for being our friend. Thank you for being on Sterling every damn Sunday.
Now, join the lesbians in space.
I guess it's probably because I've got a big lesbian crush on you.
The biggest hits of all time. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every damn night.
All right, good evening, Walter M. Sterling. Every damn Sunday night, you and I were chatting with Stephanie Francois. Stephanie Francois, a hair designer at the Julian Farrell Restore Salon and Spa of New York City in Palm Beach. And Palm Beach, she does the hair of the celebrities going to the Met Gala. The Met Gala in New York City, the Anna Wintour prom. And she does their hair. It's an insane event. And it was great to have her on Sterling every damn night. That was Stephanie Francois. I did not have her last name in front of me, and I'm sorry, Stephanie, but it was great to have you on. You were a terrific guest. And she does the hair of some of the biggest stars like Zendaya, Blake Lively, Beyonce. I wonder if Blake Lively's going to go this year because, you know, there's been a lot of scandal. There, in fact, has been virtually no scandal about Blake Lively. But there has been some this year, right? There's been some, like a little tiny amount. And in Blake Lively's life, her blessed life of being on Gossip Girl and being married to that guy, she's had no scandal in her life. She's had the easiest life imaginable for a celebrity. And then this year there was like a little skirmish with the director of her last movie. And all of a sudden she's in hiding and depressed. So it'll be interesting to see if she goes to the Met Gala. The Met Gala. I wonder if AOC is going to go to the Met Gala again. Remember a couple years ago, AOC went to the Met Gala and she was wearing a $35,000 gown. And she was there to talk about, she was there representing poor people. For years I lived in Manhattan and I was more aware of events like the Met Gala because I'd read about it in the New York Post. And there was such maelstrom around those events, such hoopla around those events. And I'm like, really? You know, I'll never be invited to it. I don't know what it's for. And then I realized later, oh, yeah, it's to raise money for the Metropolitan Opera or the ballet. Not clear. It's just the Met Gala. And to me, the Met was the subway. And it just seemed so pretentious. And at the same time, so interesting. Fashion Week, New York City Fashion Week, Paris Fashion Week, Milan Fashion Week. I'm thinking it always seems to be Fashion Week. At any given time, we're always up against Fashion Week. And I know the real Fashion Week is right now in your home because this is prom week. We're up against the proms. And I'll tell you who's the scum of the earth. Yeah, let's get back to a Sterling topic. Let's get this back to scum. The scum of the earth are young men who invite your daughter to prom and cancel at the last minute. There are two events in a young woman's life that they fantasize about for years. One is their wedding. From the age of 8, many young girls fantasize about their wedding, where it's going to be, what they're going to wear, what color the cake's going to be, the type of man they're going to marry, who what they want to dance to. All three of my daughters have known what they want to dance to their father to, with their father to, which song, since they've been about 8. Daddy, we're going to dance to this song. Remember, I don't forget. They say to me, well, how long are you going to do Sterling on Sunday? Hi, I have 3 daughters. We have to get through 3 weddings, and then I'll think about maybe retiring, probably not. We have a long way to go. I have a 13-year-old, a long way to go. The other thing is prom, what they want to wear to prom. My brilliant middle daughter went to a Goodwill, found exactly the right dress, exactly the right brooch. I think she invested about $8 in her prom outfit, and she was beautiful. She was magnificent. The older daughter invested a little money in a prom dress, was excited about going. She's a rules girl. She likes things like prom, graduation pictures. She's that girl. And then COVID destroyed that for her. And then the jerk canceled. Instead of taking her to prom, my daughter to prom, he canceled at the last minute. And my daughter went with a friend or two, and I'm sure she had a nice time. But let me tell you, now that I'm the father of daughters, I can't imagine a greater horror or a bigger jerk than to cancel on a young lady on prom. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Pretty little baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty little baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty little baby. You say that maybe you'll be thinking of me and try to love me. You can ask the flowers. I sit for hours telling all the bluebirds, the bluebirds. Pretty little baby, I'm so in love with you. Now is just the time when both of us are young. Puppy love must have its day. Don't you know it's my while the heart is young and gay. Meet me at the car hop.
This is the TikTok song right now. You want to be cool for your kids? This is what they're watching on TikTok. Hundreds of videos.
Now is just the time when both of us are young. Puppy love must have its day. Don't you know it's much more fun to love while the heart is young and gay. Meet me at the car hop.
That's enough. You really don't need any more of that. Connie Francis, her non-hit at the moment, is the hottest song on TikTok. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is reason for it to be banned. That is why TikTok should be banned. Because it made Pink Shoelaces by Dodie Goodman and Connie Francis's Seaside.
I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
A hit. Right. Where's my favorite one? Oh, yeah. That.
Satan lives. Just terrible.
Yeah. Walter M. Sterling, live on Sunday night. I don't know what's wrong with me. My phone number is live, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. It's a live radio show, and I have a live phone number. And you want to go on the radio? Great. You get to go on live and talk to America. When you'd go on this show, what does that mean? It means you're the media. That's right. It means you are the media. Congratulations. Let me just continue to fight with my microphone. It means you are the media. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I'm very excited about the fact that finally they got an airline. You and I have suffered way too much in the hands of airlines. Air Canada, in a major win for consumers, that's us, a Quebec court, not an American court, has ordered Air Canada to pay more than $10 million in damages to passengers who were charged amounts that exceeded the prices advertised on the airline's website. The decision is a result of a 15-year legal battle over fair transparency. Air Canada's conduct, stated the judge, demonstrated ignorance and laxity in assuming it was exempt from the Consumer Protection Act in Quebec. The court's ruling reverses a lower court, blah, blah, blah. We don't care. But apparently they charged a lot more than it said on the website. The lead plaintiff said he was charged $125 more in taxes, surcharges, and fees than the ticket price shown during the initial step of the booking process. On the website, the Canadian Wear website's website thing there. But the result was that many other people were overcharged, and it was $10 million in damages awarded to customers who were screwed by Air Canada. And thank God somebody took them to court. Because there was a time, ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to believe this. I don't even know why I tell you. There was a time when it was fun to fly. No, really. Where when you were greeted, I tell you this part because no one believes me. Everybody says yes. There's a romance about the old days of airline travel. They served real food. They handed out newspapers. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about real luxury. You'd walk on the plane with your carry-on, and the flight attendant would greet you and say, "What seat are you at?" You would tell them. They would take your carry-on and walk it to the overhead bin above that seat for you. They didn't let you carry on your carry-on. They carried it on for you. Can you imagine that? If you looked at a flight attendant today and said, "Could you hold this for a second while I settle down?" the rules don't let me. I could hurt myself and sue. That's what they would say. No flight attendant will touch your luggage today. They will not help you with the overhead rack, no matter how old and feeble you are. And if you're listening to me, I think it's probably pretty profound. And then this happened.
Investigators say a pipe from a tugboat is actually what seriously damaged a car on Commercial Street in Portland this week. So Cameron Mallette was working late Wednesday night for Casco Bay Lines when he learned the rear window of his vehicle was shattered. Police told us yesterday they thought the 35-pound pipe fell from a plane. Police now say the FAA and Casco Bay Lines did an investigation. They determined that pipe broke off from a nearby tugboat. The piece is likely part of a tie-down.
Let's review. How exactly does a piece of a tugboat fly onto the street and attack the window of a car? This is what life is, my friend. You and I get up, we take a shower or bath, we drink coffee or tea, we have our day planned. But the events of our life, what takes place in our life day to day to day to day that we remember, that in fact change the course, make it better or worse. Honey, I'm pregnant, make it better or worse, are things for which we have almost no planning. All the big events in life are things over which we have almost no planning. We plan what we're going to wear, where we're going to work, how we're going to get there. Oh my gosh, are we out of gas? Do we have enough gas? But you can have all the gas you want. You can dress beautifully, get to work on time, make sure your kid's in school on time, properly dressed, with the right lunch, all of that. And yet, what's going to make or break our day? The check engine light. When the check engine light goes on, that tiny little light bulb now is in charge of my day. I now have to spend my day figuring out exactly how to make the check engine light go off.
Do you see this potato? If there is rust on your car, rub the potato back and forth on the rust vigorously. These rust marks will be wiped off quickly. Do you see this cut yellow lemon? If the headlights become yellowish and dim, use a lemon and rub it hard back and forth on the car lights. Do you see it? The car headlights are restored to look like new. Do you see this toothpaste? If there is a slight scratch like this on your car, apply the toothpaste on it and then rub it gently. The scratch will disappear. Do you see this Florida water? Let's sprinkle it in the front engine room like this. That way, rats will never enter the forward cabin again. Have you learned it?
What will never enter the front engine? Did he say rats? Rats will never get into the front of the engine again? But from those astonishing videos, I learned how to get the check engine light to go off, no matter what. Oh, you didn't hear about that? I'll tell you in just seconds how to get the check engine light to go off, no matter what. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
Now, join the lesbians in space.
Caitlin Clark is a lesbian.
I wish, but I don't think so.
Do you think Caitlin Clark is a lesbian?
I think she's just happy to be here.
Do you think Caitlin Clark's a lesbian?
No.
Do you think Caitlin Clark's a lesbian?
I have no idea.
Do you?
No. Yes.
I do too. Do you think Caitlin Clark's a lesbian?
No.
Do you think Caitlin Clark's a lesbian?
I hope so.
Do you?
Yes, but only because she's amazing at basketball and only lesbians can be so good at basketball.
Alive. Neon lights flicker, the patrons talking jive. Bullets over trailer parks under the moonlit sky. Detective Vic Ferrari always gets this guy.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell a story about an aspiring confidential informant. When I was a detective in the auto crime division, I had a young sergeant who kept pushing me to interview this guy. Guy was in jail on a drug charge, but supposedly had all this information about stolen vehicles. So we pull him out of the Manhattan District Attorney's office, and he tells me this story about how he knows this guy that lives in Midtown, and this guy is able to get him stolen vehicles from the Port of Newark. He says he goes up there with $5,000, he counts it out, the guy gets on the phone, makes a phone call, within a half hour, a car's downstairs with a temporary plate, car stolen from the Port of Newark. And I asked this guy, I go, well, what did you do with the stolen cars? Well, I shipped them out of the country. He couldn't really give me a straight answer. So I told him, I'm not making you any promises. I got to look into this. So the guy he's supposedly getting the cars from has nothing, doesn't have anything to do with cars in his criminal history. He had served time for shooting at somebody. He was a convicted bank robber. But there was nothing on his rap sheet for cars. So I was skeptical. I did an offline search with the FBI to find out how many stolen cars came out of the Port of Newark over the past 5 years. After I got my answers, I pulled this slippery drug dealer out of jail again, and I sit him down and I talk to him. I go, walk me through this again. So he tells me the story all over again, and I said, you sure these cars are coming from Newark? Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I hand him a piece of paper. I go, do you know what this is? He goes, no. I says, this is how many cars were stolen out of the Port of Newark in the past 5 years. None. So your story's not making sense. He goes, well, we were going to do these deals. I said, so you never did this before? And he said, no. He says, but we're going to do it. And I said, let me tell you what would have happened with this guy's violent criminal history of bank robberies and shooting at people. You would have went up there with $5,000 in buy money, and you probably would have gotten shot in the head, rolled up in a carpet, and then we would have been looking for the guy that killed you and to get our $5,000 back. So I turned to my sergeant. I said, I'm not going to use this guy. And he goes, what are you talking about? He says, he's got all this information. I go, did you just hear what he told us? He just lied to us about this guy being able to provide stolen vehicles at the Port of Newark. I had a fight with my sergeant tooth and nail for 20 minutes to finally convince him that this guy had fool's gold for sale. So you never know as a detective where a case will take you, but you should always keep your ears open and listen to exactly what people say, because a lot of times they promise you things they can't come through with. So for more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to pick up a copy in my new book, Grand Theft Auto, the NYPD's Auto Crime Division.
All right, it's a few minutes before midnight on the East Coast, a few minutes before 9 on the West Coast. Walter M. Sterling, Midnight Misfits, Frankie Cohn. Good evening. Welcome, my Midnight Misfit. Greg Musseri, Kipper McGee, Tommy Woods, Gary Arnell, Charles Van Zandt, Keith Mortensen, Charlie Green, the great Charlie Green. Good evening. John Rose, Pete Toriel, Beryl Kravitz, welcome, Sterling, every damn night, Ben Webb, Mary Kephart, Paul Vandenberg, hello, Paul Vandenberg, Randy West, these are the Midnight Misfits. If you'd like to be a Midnight Misfit, you can make it official. All you have to do is go to waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And you can instantly download and print out a Midnight That membership card. And on it is a decoder. And I give out secret messages from time to time. And you will be one of the few people in your neighborhood who can actually decode. You don't have to know the fancy decode. You can just decode and we can predict the future.
When they arrive at the door, a television camera takes their picture to tell the hostess her guests have arrived. Over here is the combination open fireplace and electric barbecue. Here you have a refrigerator that looks like fine furniture. For convenience, the upper unit of the refrigerator opens from both sides. Thousands of recipes are on file here, and simply by pressing a couple of buttons, the recipe of your choice appears on the screen. For the young in heart, a button selects the latest hit record and plays it automatically. To help maintain that healthy tingle, there's an electric massage table and outside an electric exerciser. The Total Electric Home is another reason we can say that when it comes to leading the way with new ideas for better living, you can be sure if it's Westinghouse.
It's always fascinating to watch the videos made in the 40s and 50s about what the future was going to be like by companies like Westinghouse and General Electric, and they get close. That one was really close. What they described were about five different pieces of equipment that, in fact, we get on our iPhone. But the iPhone can do all of those things. We just did it better than it was predicted. And TV cameras, security cameras on the front door got that right. The only thing they got way wrong that I don't even know how it could work would be to be able to open a refrigerator from both sides, because they had the refrigerator mounted on the counter in that video rather than back against a wall. They had it mounted on a counter, and you could open it from both sides. But the video shows, and I'll post it on my Facebook at Walter Sterling, the video shows a refrigerator that doesn't seem to have a compressor in it. Just looks like a cabinet. I'm Walter M. Sterling. You and I can talk live. I have a live line at 855-839-1210. Sterling every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
Everybody's obsessed with Connie Francis on TikTok. Details in seconds now. Dr. Dave Weather.
Telling every night, lost in space. Mission control, Dave Scott.
Dave Scott, our expert in Canada on UFOs, metaphysics, Bigfoot, conspiracy theories, the great Dave Scott, host of SpacedOutRadio.com. Now, Dave, you're right. You were not supposed to be on tonight, and that is why I didn't have you on the rundown. Yet we have an ambitious, professional group of support people, producers, staff, fact-checkers, who, through reflex memory, muscle memory, call you at this time every week, and they called you. I hope you weren't asleep.
No, actually, I'm sitting in the casino. It's actually good timing because I just finished a dinner here in Las Vegas with some very, very good friends, and we were, you know, just wrapping things up, kind of in a lull and a delay of what we were going to do next in our final night here in the beautiful Sin City, and my phone rang. And how do I say no to the number one broadcaster in his time slot? It's impossible. I have to.
Well, that's the Canadian in you, because everybody else says no to me. Nobody else has a problem saying no to me except you. And I think that's why we continue to be friends, because I can count on you. Why don't you share with the Midnight Misfits where you are and why you're there?
Well, every year, annually, I do a get-together with my Space Out Radio team and whoever of our listeners want to come in and just do a hangout session. And I don't know what else to call it besides a hangout session, because that's really all we do is just hang out, talk UFOs, talk Bigfoot, talk ghosts. And we had about 30 people here from around North America hanging out with us, from listeners to people who've been interviewed on my show, to my own teammates. And it's been absolutely a wonderful weekend in Las Vegas. And I'll tell you, this is a town, or a city, I should say, that if the borders ever opened up, I would move here. It's something about the desert that just attracts me.
It's very interesting to me that there are many Americans who agree with you that they go there to live. It's not a place that would occur to me to go there to live. What do you find appealing about it as a residence?
Well, you know what? I've always lived on the west coast of British Columbia. There's a lot of mountains, there's a lot of trees, a lot of rain, a lot of winter. And there is just something so meticulously beautiful about the desert. You know, whether it's the sagebrush, whether it's the cacti, whether it's, you know, in Nevada, I'm a giant military buff. And knowing that, you know, like we were coming back from Rachel, Nevada, which is right on the other side of the mountains from Area 51. And we saw a train yesterday carrying military vehicles to wherever they were going. Don't care. But I've always, it's weird. Nobody in my family has ever served in the military. But I'm like a military brat where I absolutely get all excited when I see anything to do with the United States military and all the beautiful toys that the soldiers, the great veterans, have gotten to play with over the years. So it's just very exciting to me.
Rachel Nevada, that's a stripper name, isn't it?
No, Rachel Nevada is famous because they are right on the other side of the mountains of Area 51. Now, we actually got to drive out there yesterday. We went to the desert. We went as far as we could go on one of the gravel roads, and we could see what they call the camo dudes off at the distance checking us out to make sure that we didn't cross the point check and accidentally slip into the Area 51 base. So that was as close as I had ever been to the area. It was absolutely phenomenal. I got some great photos at the gate. I got a picture of the camo dudes way off in the distance watching us in their truck that they have, that they use. So it was very, very interesting, to say the least. Oh, and one other thing that I would like to add to that, if you don't mind, please. I was with a gentleman named Jim Goodall, who was just recently, he's 80 years old. He's a very good friend of mine, and he was recently inducted into the United States Aviation Hall of Fame because of the great books that he has written about the U.S. military and aircraft over the years. And we walked into this place called The Little Alien, and a famous photo that Jim had of a C-5 Galaxy transport aircraft carrying an SR-71 Blackbird in the middle. Jim was the one who set that up. He saw the photo sitting there on the wall at the Little Alien Cafe in Rachel, Nevada, and just to watch his face light up like a child who just won something, a big prize, it was just absolutely phenomenal.
It disturbs me when you say you were inside Rachel, Nevada. Now, with your team of people for Spaced Out Radio, Spaced Out Radio on YouTube, spacedoutradio.com, with your team this weekend, and you were going over shows, you were going over topics and subjects, what seems to be the hot topic, the one that you keep going back to with your team that you guys go, we got to cover this more, we have to talk more about this?
It's actually two things, Walter, and that's a great question because I don't think we talk about that enough. Number one is UFOs. Our ratings skyrocket when we talk about UFOs. And the other one is monsters like Bigfoot. People just cannot, as listeners, cannot seem to get enough of UFOs and monsters. And so I think that has to be a focus for my show going forward.
Is there new, without quoting court hearings, which is boring, is there any new UFO information that's come out recently we need to be aware of? Or do you anticipate finally any official documents being released?
Well, these hearings that have been going on, and I know you hate hearings, but a government scientist named Dr. Eric Davis absolutely blew the socks off of the panel just the other day, where he stated that the United States government is in contact with four different alien species as we speak. The alien grays with the giant big black eyes, the Nordics, which are humanoid-looking, reptilians, which look like lizard people, if you remember the television show V, and insectoids. So imagine, for an insectoid, imagine a human-type body, but a praying mantis-type head on that creature. Now, apparently these relationships have been going on for a number of decades, and people are reportedly seeing them. People are reportedly having contact, and now we hear that the United States government is in contact with all four. What they are doing together, we do not know, but Dr. Eric Davis has been somebody who has normally been reserved on talking about any of these topics. So for him to come out and say, yes, 100%, we are in contact with four different alien species as part of the U.S. government, that's a bombshell.
That is a bombshell. It'll be interesting to see his proof. Dave Scott, Spaced Out Radio, speaking with us live from Las Vegas. Did you win any money?
I have got my ass handed to me this weekend, Walter. I'm not going to lie.
What'd you play?
This is probably, I played a little bit of poker earlier today. I played some slot machines. I've stayed away from the blackjack. I've stayed away from all the card games. I tried roulette once. Got waxed there right off the bat. So it's been a tough go that week that way, but it's been a very enjoyable weekend.
SpacedOutRadio.com on YouTube. You can hear every show he's ever done. Great broadcaster, great friend, Dave Scott on Sterling every damn Sunday.
Your heart.
Walmart.
Sterling Shops. Walmart. Sterling Shops. Walmart.
His name is Gay. G-A-Y. No, I don't know if he's gay or straight, I have no idea. But his given name is Matthew Patrick Gay. Over the last several years, this gay feller has been rolling into one Walmart location in Athens, Pennsylvania, and stealing jewelry. Walmart has the highest class jewelry you could ever find. Great, beautiful gemstones from the experts at Walmart, the largest corporation in the entire world. That being said, Matthew Patrick Gay kept going back to the same store and stole over $7,300 of wonderful jewelry from that store. Surveillance video viewed by authorities reportedly show Gay distracting an employee when asking about a diamond ring and then replacing it with a different ring with a fake one in his pocket. Gay apparently been busted a couple of times, but now they have him linked to this string of crimes. The Gay feller, Mr. Gay, sentenced to 23 months, 258 days in prison. According to District Attorney Richard Wilson, Gay's criminal record includes more than two dozen offenses of this nature. I think he may have a problem. Perhaps this is a mental illness where he shouldn't be in jail at all. I stand up for the Gay guy. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool. Sterling every damn night.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a radio whiz who proved a little too big for the room in the radio biz. His head overflowed with brilliant ideas to make radio great. But his bosses were all idiots, and all they could do is hate. This wizard set off on his own, on his epic quest, to make his show the greatest, better than all the rest, better than all the rest.
And now he's back on the radio, with his merry crew.
With Velo, Detective Vic, Thea Landon and her smutty books, the Gaffneys, Dave Scott, Florida Stories and all the rest, here on Sterling every damn night. Here on Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night. Study books, lusty books. Get cozy with Thea Landon.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, A Flame Among the Stars. Despite the darkness, Solyndra's round eyes glittered in the wan moonbeams. Treat me like I'm any other woman who happened to cross your path and attracted your attention. Meg let out a nervous chuckle, ruffling the hair at the side of her head. Careful there. You might not know what you're getting yourself into. Is that a warning or a promise? She swallowed back a groan as Solyndra's coy remarks threatened to tear away all her reasons for resisting. Still, the doubts lingering at the back of her mind made her hesitate. I have to ask, she said. And if you tell any of the others, Ronan especially, about this rare vulnerable moment of mine, Well, I don't know what I'll do, but I'll come up with some sort of retribution soon enough. She tilted her head forward, her loose waves settling around her face into flawless frame. I'm listening. Meg inhaled a deep breath, then let it out. Why me? She finally said. with everyone you've ever come across, from the staff at the castle to visitors from far-off lands? Why are you interested in an insignificant peasant from a village that doesn't even have a name? Solyndra crossed her arms in mock irritation. I thought we'd been over this. From the moment we met, you were friendly and kind to me, even before you knew my true identity. You invited me, a stranger, to join you, even giving me your sister's boots to make sure I'd be comfortable. She kicked at a tree root. It's not like anyone else was using them at the moment, she mumbled. Then, no matter what's happened since, you always know exactly what to do or say. I wish I could be half as smart and perceptive as you. And I still think you're crazy for saying so. Her gaze remained glued to the ground, her next words barely audible in the thick forest. I'm really not as special as you make me out to be. What else do I need to do to convince you? Dark red lips curved down into an alluring pout. Fine, I'll keep going then. I like the way your hair always looks so wild, like you've spent the whole day running through the wind on another adventure. I'm fascinated by how the color of your eyes shifts with the light, from calm seas to stormy skies. And whenever I see your smile, not like when you're fooling around with your friends, but the real one, I can't help but feel happy too. Okay, okay, enough. Fire burned in Meg's cheeks, and she hoped the shadows would help camouflage it. You're making me all flustered. Oh? Solyndra tapped her chin, pretending to study her. I didn't think anything ever flustered you, Meg. How interesting. She tried to laugh, though it came out as more of a snort. So, putting aside all the flattery, where does this leave us? Well? Leaning against the tree, she tossed her hair back, letting the starlight illuminate her face. Based on our conversation last night, and everything since, I think you owe me a kiss. Meg's heart skipped a beat, but before she could respond, Solyndra straightened, her air of self-assurance replaced by a perplexed expression. Is this how these things are supposed to go? She whispered. The words sounded pretty good in my head, but now I'm not so sure. She couldn't stop the corners of her mouth from turning up in what she assumed was one of the aforementioned genuine smiles. It was perfect. Stepping forward, she closed the gap between them. As Solyndra gazed at her with her striking green eyes, she felt an obligation to make this kiss memorable. Reaching up, Meg caressed the side of her face, her thumb tracing the contour of her cheekbone. With gentle pressure, she tilted her chin upward and brought her mouth to hers, letting it hover in place for a brief yet endless moment before coming in contact with her. Soft lips welcomed her, parting when she snaked her tongue forward. The taste of her made Meg's knees tremble, and she sought to explore her mouth in detail. With every advance, Solyndra's tongue engaged her with a playful swirl, eager to probe into her in return. Meg buried her fingers in her silky hair, holding her tight. Her other hand meandered lower to rest at her waist, and her imagination went into overdrive.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Yeah, don't cheer yet. You haven't heard the stories. We go to Port Richey, Florida for our first story, where a guy after dinner says he's going to go jet skiing. Now, when he posted on Facebook, hey, anyone want to meet me up here at the mouth of the river? There are a few people that leave a comment to say, hey, man, you better get in before that big storm comes. Well, he definitely got out before the storm comes, but while he's out jet skiing around, he sees a bird that gets caught up in a fishing line. And he wants to be a good guy, so he goes and he jumps off his jet ski and he swims over and he untangles the bird from the fishing line. Turns out its injuries are only minor. He pushes it off, it flies away, and everything's perfect. Except he turns around and it looks like his jet ski has floated down the river and is now lost at sea. He's swimming after it, but he can't catch it. He gets tired. Now the storm's coming in. He has to find a place to bunk for the night. He finds a little camp out there, breaks into it, covers himself in a tarp. There's a space heater there, so he's going to be fine. It was warm enough to go jet skiing, so he's not like he's going to die of hypothermia or anything. But in the morning, the sheriff's office has put up a helicopter looking for this dude. That's right, the family got so concerned when he didn't come back from jet skiing, they started a whole search team. So he hears the helicopter, he waves to it, they pick him up, bring him back. There's like a whole welcoming crew waiting for him. There were people crying and clapping and hugging each other when he showed up. It's 7 in the morning. This guy's been lost for literally 12 hours, as in, like, he hasn't even missed a meal yet. The local TV station's reporting on it like, though, it's some kind of Christmas miracle. They're like, he's up, he's talking, he's walking, he seems to be okay. Dude, he's only been missing since last night. He's a grown-ass man. He's in his mid-30s. Doesn't it seem weird that people in Florida would flip out over such a tiny story considering what all goes on over there with all the crime and drugs and freaks and speeding and toe sucking? Oh, yeah, there's toe sucking. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we go to Lee County, Florida, where some people enter into the healthcare industry with the best of intentions. They just want to help their fellow man. They want to be healers. But this 23-year-old Florida man got into it for an ulterior motive. He wanted to find incapacitated victims to satisfy his toe-sucking fetish. So this 23-year-old Florida man, he looks like a pretty handsome guy. He kind of looks like O-Dog from Menace to Society. But apparently he is so into sucking toes that he's been sucking toes of patients when they're passed out. Elderly, sick people. He's been taking advantage of these people. Not to rob them or rape them, but to suck their toes. Something's wrong with you. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we go to Grand Ridge, Florida, where I don't know the complete details of this lady's situation, but apparently she's making a shipment of a bunch of meth. Now, you would think if you had 9 giant baggies of meth, 5 smaller baggies of meth, a couple of bags of weed, that's probably for personal use, a couple grand in cash in your car, maybe you wouldn't smoke weed while you're driving. Well, this lady does, but she doesn't get pulled over smoking weed. She has car trouble. Her car dies. And so she takes the little joint that she was smoking, puts it out, and sticks it into her bra. This will be her fatal flaw. Because as she's on the side of the road calling for help, a cop sees her, pulls over, offers to help. Great cop. Here, let me at least help you push this thing off the highway to where it's somewhere safe. And then he says, I can't help but notice you and your car just reek of weed. I'm going to have to search your car. He looks in the glove box, finds a couple bags of weed. Okay, now I'm going to have to get the dog out here. They look in the trunk finally, and they find all the giant bags. It's like a half pound or something. Looks like a Breaking Bad quantity of meth. So she's going to jail. You couldn't wait to smoke your weed. You knew you were in a janky car, and you had to put it in your bra. Couldn't have left it in the ashtray or ate it or thrown it in the ditch. Had to put it in your bra. Brilliant. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
Look, it's Sunday night. You're dreading going to work tomorrow morning. Some of us have bad days at work, but not like this guy over where a 47-year-old Florida man was at his Crystal Springs job, and he works at a dairy farm. Got in an argument with the coworker, and one thing they have at dairy farms is plenty of cow manure. He takes a bucket, scoops up a bunch of cow manure, dumps it on the victim's head. Other than that, how was your day at work?
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
All right, for our next Florida story, we're in Pinellas County. A guy's driving down the road on the highway, and he looks into the car next to him, and he sees two guys. Look at the middle-aged white guys that kind of look like me in the mugshots here. What caught their attention was One of them literally was shooting up heroin. He was shooting up drugs in his arm. He's not in the passenger seat. This is the guy in the driver's seat. The guy in the driver's seat's kind of leaned over holding the wheel. And a dude that's passing them in the passing lane just kind of looks over and sees this going on. How does that make you feel when you're on your commute, on your way to work? This is happening in the morning. So someone calls the cops. Deputies are luckily pulling these dudes over. It's a 39-year-old Florida man, 28-year-old Florida man. Cops catch up to him, pull him over at a gas station, find of all things, you know, a few other little drugs here. But fentanyl, the guy was shooting up fentanyl on the highway while he's driving. Yeah, the stuff that killed Prince. I think I'm just going to bang that in my arm while I'm rocking 70 miles an hour on the interstate. You will never guess what kind of car this is driving. See, this is the Florida twist on it. You'll never guess. This would be like your 50th guess. He was driving a Jaguar. That's right. I drive a 15-year-old pickup truck. The guy that's banging fentanyl in his arm right before lunch on the interstate, he's driving a late model Jaguar. Go figure that one. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Clearwater, Florida. This is a Florida man who already has prior arrest for possession of cocaine, trafficking of cocaine, marijuana possession, marijuana sale, grand theft auto. Been arrested on 3 times for charges of fleeing police. Been cited 4 times for speeding, 3 times for careless driving, 2 times for running a stop sign, 7 times for driving with a suspended or invalid driver's license. So on a Wednesday at 10:30 in the morning, what's he doing? He's drag racing. He's in a Camaro, 120 miles an hour, over the Bayside Bridge, pulled over. Deputies find drugs. He's got weed, cocaine, MDMA. This is at 10:45 in the morning on a Wednesday. See, but you could guess what kind of car he was driving. Camaro totally fits the bill. In fact, if I told you, there's a guy with a rap sheet a mile long who's drag racing over a bridge at 10:45 in the morning on a Wednesday, you probably would have guessed Camaro on that one. That's just par for the course for Florida. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
So we go over to the Jacksonville story. For our next story, we go to Jacksonville, Florida, right outside of Jacksonville. A Toyota 4Runner was headed south in the Nassau County area when two horses were standing in the southbound lanes of the highway. Guy hits them both, and the horses end up dying. A Good Samaritan pulled up. It's a married couple recently celebrating their 11th wedding anniversary. Pulled over to help others in need. They were with their 15-year-old daughter. Pulled over to help others in need. Someone swerves to dodge one of the horse carcasses and ends up hitting the wife, killing her. It's a horrible tragedy, and that's the only person that ended up hurting the whole thing. I mean, besides the horses. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
All right, for our final Florida story, we're going to St. Petersburg, Florida, and I saved the worst for last because we have Father of the Year candidate here. 37-year-old Florida man was trusted at home with his 3 kids, 4 years old, 5 years old, 7 years old. Oh, that's kind of cute. It's daddy and the kiddos. It's daddy night with the kiddos. But 37-year-old Florida man has other things in mind. He puts the kids down for bed, and after they are in their rooms, but not quite asleep, he decides he's going to leave them alone because 37-year-old Florida man's got to get laid. He's going out to meet a hookup. And you're like, oh, okay, James, child abandonment, 4, 5, 7 years old. I mean, yeah, that's bad, but is that really bad enough to be in Florida stories? Oh, hang on. You think that's the end of the story? He's not just going to go meet some booty call. He's going to go meet a 14-year-old girl for sex. He's been grooming her online. And now, oh, God, sorry, I said anything. Oh, no, you started this. We're going and we're finishing this path together. Because when he shows up to meet the 14-year-old girl for sex, it's not a 14-year-old girl for sex. The local sheriff's department's been running a sting trying to catch pervos. It's one of those Chris Hansen situations. Hey, excuse me, why don't you sit down? Let me ask you a few questions there. Why are you holding a 6-pack of beer and where's your pants? So yes, is that bad enough for you? Is that a good enough finale? Not only is the father abandoning his 4, 5, and 7-year-old, he did it to go have sex with a 14-year-old girl. And if that's not bad enough, turns out it was a cop. Now he's arrested. And that's the Florida version of The Aristocrat.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
Follow me on Twitter at Florida Stories J. I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
We've had one supporter from the very first show, My Pillow. Other supporters were like, well, we'll see, you know, let's see what happens in the ratings. No, no. My Pillow knew that Midnight Misfits invest in great products. And right now, MyPillow is having 2 sales in 1. The first is a closeout sale on Percal bed sheets. Listen to this. Any size, any color for $20. That's right. You can even get queens, kings, split kings, California kings, any size, any color for $20. That's 11 different colors to choose from. Now, when they're gone, they're gone. You've got $20 for Percal bed sheets from MyPillow. And the second sale is a new energy drink called Rev7, R-E-V-7. It is a premium energy drink from MyPillow. It's actually good for you. It tastes great, gives you energy all day, no sugar, no caffeine. It has premium ingredients, including Cognizant, which helps fuel your mind, and GoBHB, which is a primary ketone in your body that provides the most efficient and cleanest fuel ever. MyPillow is so confident that you're going to love Rev7 that for a limited time, you can try their introductory three-pack for free. For free. Go now to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code Walter or call. This is so easy and it's so much fun. You call the MyPillow people and they have a special phone number for Midnight Misfits. You ready? 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6481. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6481. That's 800-575-6481. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
A promise is potent. Born of intention, fueled by commitment. It's seeing things through. Always showing up. And we know a thing or two about promises here at Susan G. Komen. Over 40 years ago, we locked arms with you toward one vision. A world without breast cancer. By investing in life-saving research and standing up for patient rights, we are shifting the system so all people everywhere get the care they deserve. Because if you've just been diagnosed and don't know where to turn, we've got you. If you can't afford the treatment you need, we've got you. And if you are driven to raise money to honor the best friend you've just lost, we have a place for you here.
Stelling every damn night.
Stelling every night. Study books, lusty books, get cozy with the Owl and Dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my short story collection, Disintegration, The Prequels. A storm of emotions swept through her as she hurried down the hill. Devin waited for her at the end of the path. The last splashes of sunlight permeated the branches of the tree, and she saw a hover scooter parked at the base. His lips spread into a wide smile when she ran up to him. "I was starting to worry," he said. "Since when have I ever given you any reason to doubt me?" "Never." He pulled her toward him for a kiss. "How did the conversation with Alistair go?" Rose shrugged. "As best as could be expected, I guess." "I hope he doesn't think I sabotaged his garage or anything." "I didn't tell him I was running away with you." She shifted her bag on her shoulder. "I figured it was bad enough already." "I understand."
Devin touched her arm. If you're having second thoughts, I'm not. Okay, good. Let's go. Devin climbed aboard the compact vehicle. She joined him on the small platform and wrapped her arms around his waist. He maneuvered the hover scooter through the dilapidated cottages, past the abandoned gardens. Dusty green strips dissolved into an expanse of barren sand, and they were on their way. The newfound sense of freedom eroded any lingering uncertainty. She peeked over Devin's shoulder as they skimmed across the desert, savoring the exhilaration tingling in her nerves. In less than an hour's time, the outskirts of the city of Lensel appeared on the horizon. They steered toward the dark smudges, and Ro watched as the buildings grew larger and larger. A brief inquisition of pedestrians on the streets led them to an inexpensive motel. Devin parked the hover scooter in the designated area behind the low building, setting the security code as they disembarked. He led Ro into the small lobby and approached the clerk at the desk. Her heart throbbed as Devin made arrangements for a room. She would finally be with him for the night, with nothing left to stand in their way. After paying the clerk, they strode down the corridor hand in hand, trying not to run. He unlocked the door and pushed it open. Tossing his bag to the side, he flopped onto the bed and lay on his back, wedging a pillow beneath his head. Ro took off her jacket and draped it over a chair. "Comfortable?" she asked as she untied her sneakers. "Very." He kicked off his own shoes. "So, what shall we do first? Get some dinner? See if we can find a deck of playing cards?" She pounced on him, flattening her body against his. The mattress was uneven and the blankets were scratchy, but it was their first time sharing an actual bed. She tweaked his nose and dragged her fingertip down over his lips. "You can't think of anything better to do?" His fingers threaded through her hair, already tussled by the wind. He guided her mouth toward his and gave her a playful nibble. "What did you have in mind?" he teased. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and you're listening to an excerpt from my short story collection, Disintegration, The Prequels, which can be found at Amazon and at thealandon.com. If you'd like to hear some uncensored excerpts and get a sneak peek of what's coming up next, you can go to patreon.com/thealandon. And don't forget, you can always reach out to me at smuttythea@gmail.com. Now, let's find out what happens next. She kissed him, letting her tongue mingle with his in a luxurious exploration. They had been blessed with the gift of time, with no outside circumstances to rush them along. She was torn between wanting to take her time to investigate and exploit every available inch of his body and impaling herself on him. Snaking a hand between them, she yanked the bottom of his shirt out of his pants. "Do you want me to list everything on my mind, or should I show you?" Devin raised his arms and let her pull the t-shirt off over his head. He reclined against the pillows, and she gazed upon his broad shoulders and well-defined chest. he traced a line around the ridges of his pecs and trailed a finger through the downy fuzz leading to his navel. Tanned skin stretched over taut muscles. She couldn't get enough of him. Ro leaned forward, determined to cover as much of him as possible with fluttery kisses. Her lips traversed his neck, skating toward the hard edges she had studied, while she lavished attention upon him with her mouth. Her fingers crept down to the top of his pants. As soon as she released the button